chapter 4. And for the next few weeks, I want to look at the book of Esther and just bring a few thoughts from that. Next Sunday night, our youth are taking the meeting. Sam McCready is speaking, so again, as many as possible, come along to that, support our youth, and allow God to just minister to you through them. Pray for them, pray that God will bless them, and that they'll be blessed in all that they share and all that they do. So, the book of Esther, in chapter 4. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews and fasting and weeping and wailing. And many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai onto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king, to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again Esther spake unto Hatak, and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. I want to fill this in, the first 3 chapters. Sometimes as pastors, we make the mistake of thinking that people know these stories off by heart. I have discovered over the years that there's quite a few people that don't know the stories, and especially our children today in the schools and that, they're not taught, and there's a lot of children that don't go to Sunday school, you know, and it's amazing some of the answers you get from kids, you know, when you talk to them about David and Goliath. Some of them think that there were 2 footballers that played for Man United. And just different things like that. Kids have different ideas just about the things of God. They have no understanding of them. And I've discovered it's not just kids, it's adults as well. So I want to explain quickly the first three chapters of what has been going on here in the book of Esther. And this story happened at a time when the king of Persia, by the name of Ahasuerus, he was king. He had thrown a great feast for all the different princes of the provinces that he was over. He ruled over 127 different provinces from Ethiopia as far as India. And as he ruled over these and he had different princes and nobles, he put on a big display or a big party. And it's like no other party that I had heard of. This party lasted for 6 months. And they reveled and they partied for 6 months, eating and drinking. Said that they brought out all the finest gold cutlery, every gold vessel that they used for this party had a different design, was of a different pattern. He was showing off the richness of the things that he had. And this king threw this party for all of these leaders. Now, history books tell us Ahasuerus is his Hebrew name. The Greek name is Xerxes, and if you read about Xerxes in history, you will find that what they were actually doing at this party was they were plotting for battle. They were going to go up against Greece. And they had planned, strategies planned, and for 6 months all these rulers were together planning strategies, but they were partying the whole time. And to tell you the truth, I never seen a party like that where anybody would get any strategies sorted out, because the drink was flowing freely, the food was flowing freely, and they weren't really in the mindset for talking about war. But that was the game plan anyway. And when this 6 month period was over and he had had this party for all these great nobles and for these princes, he then threw a 7 day feast. As if the 6 months wasn't enough, he threw a 7 day feast, but this feast was for everyone who lived in the palace and everyone who lived around the palace, who was, no matter what their rank in life was, from the very poorest to the richest, everybody was invited along to this feast. And at the end of the 7 days, this king of Persia, King Ahasuerus, decided that he would send for his wife. Now, his wife was having a party as well. She was banqueting, but if you read the story for yourselves, you see that she just wasn't reveling just as much as her husband was. And as she gets sent for, the reason that he sends for her is to show off her beauty and to bring her in before these princes and all of these people to show her off. And Queen Vashti, she refused to come before the king. She refused to come because she knew that all he wanted to do was to parade her in front of all of these men who were drunk, and all they would be doing would be leering at her and looking at her beauty and having wrong thoughts about her. And Vashti refused to come. And you know, this was worse than the Women's Lib movement. This was worse than the suffragettes and chaining themselves to the railings outside Downing Street. Here was the Queen refusing to come and refusing to show herself whenever the King had commanded that she come. And the King's wise men, he sent for them, he had counsel with them, and he asked, what should he do? Because what they were saying is this: if you let her away with this, it's not only you that's going to have problems, but every household in the country, every man, his wife's going to turn on him. And his wife says, if the Queen can get away with it, we're going to get away with it, and we're not going to do what we're told. And God forbid that women should have rule in the house. These wise men come and had counsel with the King, and they said, you can't let this go. You're going to have to do something about it. One of these wise men made this suggestion. He says, make a public decree that Vashti is no longer your queen. Put her out of the palace. And he says, hold a beauty contest. And he says, have a beauty contest and bring in all the beautiful women in the country, and whichever one you pick will be your new queen. And they all agreed that this was a great idea, and so they decided that this was what they would do. And that ends chapter 1. Between chapter 1 and chapter 2, in the history books you'll find that Ahasuerus, or Xerxes, goes off to war with Greece, and it's a war that he loses, and he comes back. So from chapter 1 to chapter 2, there's a period of about 4 years, but reading it, you think it just happens the next day. But that's not the way of it. There's about a 4-year period. And he gathers together all of the beautiful women that's in the country, and he has this time of preparation. Now, ladies, you think it's bad when you are preparing to get out in the mornings. And I know what it's like when Kathy's staying in our house. Pastor Mike, that's why I don't be at the prayer meeting some Sunday mornings, because she stays on the Saturday night. I see trying to get her out of the bathroom in the morning. But it's all the preparation. These ladies had to take a full year. 1 year. So Kathy, you're forgiven. 1 year of preparing themselves before they could come and present themselves to the king. And one of the women that was picked to come before the king was a girl by the name of Esther. She was a Jewish girl. She had been an orphan. She had been reared by her husband Mordecai. Now this story, as we read it, it's like a modern fairy tale. It's from rags to riches, from pauper to princess. But you know something? It's no fairy tale. It's in the Word of God and its truth, and it happened. It took place. And as this girl Esther is brought into the king's palace, she gets counsel from her cousin Mordecai, who had reared her. And Mordecai says, go ahead, go into this beauty competition. But he says, don't tell anybody that you're a Jew. Don't tell anybody that you're a Jew. Now, Mordecai must have been led by the Spirit of God to say that, because there was a reason behind it. And we'll see as we go through the story. And it says of Esther that, you know, we would call her today a wee smasher. She was just gorgeous to look at. You know, like my wife. Good looking woman. And you see, as they looked at this Esther, she had real beauty about her. And it wasn't with all the makeup that she had on. And it wasn't with all the ornaments with which she adorned herself, because it said she didn't need those things. She had natural beauty. She was just a wee stunner. And whenever they come, what the king done was, he sent for these ladies one at a time. And as each lady came on to him, and he had spent time chatting with them and whatever, and he found out about them and all the rest, and he wanted to see which one that he would pick for queen. And whenever it came Esther's turn, Esther refused to wear all the jewelry and stuff that had been sent to adorn her, because she was just a natural beauty. And she come in before the king, and it says the king fell in love with her, and he chose Esther to be his queen. And Esther, there was a big feast thrown in. There was a wedding feast. And he married Esther. She became queen. Here was a young Jewish girl who had been orphaned at a young age, who had been reared by her cousin Mordecai. Didn't have very much, and yet now she is queen. And she is queen to the greatest king in the world at that time. King over 127 different provinces, and had great riches and great wealth. And we were singing there about how that God is with us through the fire and the flood. I said there it took a year for the preparation and all this. You know something? God was preparing even before that year. because God knew what was ahead for Esther, what was ahead for Mordecai, what was ahead for the Jews. And God doesn't do a plan and strategy the way that we do. You know, when we come together as a session, we try to plan for the year ahead. God has planned years ahead. God sees exactly what is going to happen. He knows our future. He knows the things he needs to put in place today that will work out for me. You know, even though our enemy minds it for evil, he is working it for good. And God knows exactly what he's doing. And everything that he's working in our lives, he's working for our good. So why should we worry about tomorrow? Why should we care about the things that are going to come up in a month's time or 6 months' time? If God is working for our good, and God is working for our good. And in Esther's life and the life of the Jewish people, and these Jews were exiles in Persia. They had been taken down into Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar years before this. They were now exiles. They weren't slaves in the land, but they were exiles in the land. And these Jews were living there. They were living quite peaceably at this time. But you know, God's people will always come under persecution. There's always somebody who will rise up against God's people. And God's people were the Jews. Thank God today we are God's chosen people, that we are part of God's chosen people. But God chose the nation of Israel. He chose the Jews as his people. The Hebrew people were special to God. And God was going to take care of them, but they were going to come under attack. And we have seen in history how over the different generations, different nations have come up against the Jews. And we have seen how even Hitler rose up and he wanted to annihilate the Jews, because Satan rose up Hitler to come against God's people. Satan hates God's people. And I've news for you tonight, folks. Satan hates you. Satan hates you. And he hates you because he knows the power that dwells within you. He knows the calling that God has in your life. He knows the plans that God has for you. And he knows what God's going to do through you if you let him. And that's why Satan hates you, because Satan wants to take as many people to hell with him as he can, because Satan knows the end of the book as well as we do. And Satan knows that hell was created for him and his angels, and he wants to take as many people with him there as he can. So Satan will always rise up someone against God's people. And in the book of Esther in chapter 3, we read of a man by the name of Haman. And Haman was promoted by the king. And he was promoted by the king to be a ruler over all of the provinces, over all of these princes. He exalted him above all the 127 princes of these provinces. And you know, whenever Haman was promoted, the first thing that happened with Haman was that pride rose up within him. And unfortunately today, that happens with so many people. You see it in many aspects of life, in work, in government, even in church sometimes, where people get promotion and pride comes in, and people start to think they are somebody, and they start to think they can do what they want, and they can treat people how they want. And this guy, Haman, he was walking about with a chest all puffed out, thought he was somebody, and the king made a great decree about Haman that people were to bow down to him. The king gave him his ring, and he used the ring and he used it to seal letters that went out to all the different provinces to instruct people that wherever Haman went, that people were to bow down and people were to pay homage to this guy Haman. But this guy Mordecai, who was the cousin of Esther, who had reared her, Mordecai loved God. And Mordecai would not bow down to anyone other than God. And just want to mention that Esther is the only book in the Bible where the name of God is not mentioned. But as you read right through the book, he's on every page of the book. You couldn't mistake that God's in it, but his name's not mentioned. But Mordecai loved God and he wouldn't bow down to this guy. And Haman got word that there was a fella by the name of Mordecai and he refused to bow down to him. And of course, pride rose up on his chest. He says, I need to sort this boy out. I need to make an example of him. I need to do something here. And he goes to the king and he says, King, there's somebody here in this province that's not keeping your commandments, that's not doing what you have instructed him to do, and we need to make an example of him, and need to make an example of his people. You see, Haman wasn't just content to get rid of Mordecai, he wanted to get rid of the Jews. And he says, I'll put 10,000 pieces of silver up to make payment to exterminate these Jews. And what they done was, they cast lots and they decided on a particular day that every Jew would be put to death on that same day. And there was thousands upon thousands of Jews living in Persia. And Haman decided that on this day, and it was to be 12 months after the day that they cast lots, that every Jew in the country was going to be put to death. The king said he would put up money. He would give them the letters, and the letters were sent out to every province. All of these 127 provinces received letters. Not only was the letter sent out to all the princes and the nobles, but it was sent out to people that every single person living there would have that letter in their own language, and everybody knew that the Jews were going to be put to death. But you know something? You see, whatever the devil's planning against you, God's got a different plan. And God's going to thwart the devil's plans every time, because we're in the hands of God tonight, folks. And it doesn't matter. No weapon formed against you will prosper. There's nothing that the devil will come against us with that he can come. God will only let him come so far, and then God says, stop. And whatever situation is in your life, the devil is not going to have control because God says stop. And God has raised us up as his people. God has us a new Christian center for his purposes. And whatever the devil tries to do to stop the work of God in this city, it ain't going to happen, because Jesus has said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And Haman had his plans, and Haman was rubbing his hands with glee, thinking, I'll show this boy Mordecai, have him sorted out now. He thinks he's a smart fella, won't bow down to me. I'll get rid of him, and I'll not just get rid of him, I'll get rid of every Jew in the country. And as these letters go out, this is where we take up the story here this evening in chapter 4. The letters has gone out. Esther is living in the palace at this stage, and obviously she is oblivious to what is going on. She hasn't heard. These letters has went out all around these different provinces, but Esther hasn't heard what is going on. And she hears that Mordecai is in sackcloth and ashes. And she sends out clothes. That's her answer to the situation. She sends out clothes. Tell Mordecai to put off those sackcloth and ashes and to get himself dressed properly. And Mordecai refuses the clothes. And at that point, Esther, something starts to dawn on her. There's something wrong here. And she sends word to Mordecai to find out, why is he doing this? Why is he dressed in sackcloth and ashes? Why is he fasting? What is the problem here? And Mordecai sends word back to Esther. And he says, there's been a decree made that all the Jews are going to be put to death. And he says, you need to go in onto the king, and you need to speak up for us, and you need to take your stand. And the first response that Esther has to this is fear. And quite often our first response in situations is fear. Because Esther says there's a law, and everybody in the country knew the law, that if you go in onto the king without being called, that he can put you to death. And the same way would have. And she's thinking of herself. She's thinking, if I go in onto the king, I am putting myself at risk, because he hasn't called for me for this past 30 days. And maybe she's thinking by this stage, I'm out of favor with the king because of something. Maybe there's some reason he hasn't sent for me, but if I go in onto him and he has something that he has against me at this moment in time, maybe he'll put me to death. And she sends word back to Mordecai, I can't go in onto the king. If I go in, he's going to kill me. You see, Mordecai, he sends word back again and he says, look, Esther, don't think because you're living in the palace that you're going to be different than the rest of us. She says, you're a Jew just like the rest of us. And you know, folks, as God's people, we need to identify with each other. We need to identify as the people of God. We need to stick together no matter what goes on, through thick and thin. You know, you'll see sometimes when a church is going well and people's coming in and people's excited and they're all behind it and all this is great and church is going great here at the minute. But what happens when something goes wrong and some people leave and people start talking about a situation and then people start jumping ship? That's not the time to jump ship. That's the time to get behind the leadership. That's the time to stick together in unity. That's the time to identify as the people of God and to realize what your calling in Christ is. And if Christ has called you to Newry Christian Center to do a work here in Newry, he's not going to move you on just because somebody's had a wee tiff with somebody else. But so often people move on for that very reason. You see, we need to identify together as the people of God. And he sends word back to Esther, you know, Esther, you're not going to be saved just because you're in the palace. And you're the only one at this point in time that can go into the king and can do anything for us. And you know, I love this because he said, if you don't do it, he says, we'll be saved by some other means. And don't think that if you don't do something, God's not going to get the thing done. All he'll do is he'll sidestep you and he'll use somebody else. But you know, I'd hate to get to heaven and realize that there's dozens of people in heaven that have got saved because somebody else witnessed to them when I had the opportunity to witness to them and I could have led them to the Lord. Those could have been, you know, jewels in my crown. And folks, we have opportunity to witness to others and to make our stand for Christ. And to share with others the gospel of the kingdom. And I've been trying to encourage you in this past few weeks about taking the message of the gospel out of this place and to reach the city for Christ. We're meeting together on Tuesday night to talk about outreach. And I'm trying to make you see that that's God's plan and that's God's purpose for the life of this church, is to take the message to the city and to reach people. And you know, if we don't do it, God will raise up another church to do it. God will raise up other people to go and do what he wants done. Because it's God's will to save people. It's God's will to heal people. It's God's will to move in this city and for there to be a move of the Spirit in this city. Mordecai says, if you hold your peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Folks, you are here, you're in Newry Christian Center, and you're here for such a time as this. You're here because God has called you here. You're here because God has a purpose for Newry Christian Center, not just as a church to build one another up, but as a church in the body of Christ to go out into this city and to win souls and to see people set free. And God has us here because we're here for such a time as this. And Esther at this point steps up to the plate, and Esther says, I'll go into the king. And the only way that she could be saved as she went into the king is if the king would hold up his golden scepter and allow him audience, or allow her audience with him. And Esther sends this answer back to Mordecai. And there's wisdom in what she does. She says, fast for me for 3 days and 3 nights, and take neither food nor drink for those 3 days or those 3 nights. You see, she wanted to consult God. And you see, before we do anything, we need to consult with God. We need to get God's direction. And on Tuesday night, when we meet together and we discuss things, we want to pray about those things, and we want to see what God is opening up for us as a church. Not man's ideas, not man's plans, because see, when it's man's plans, they'll fail. But when the Spirit of God's in it, praise God, things start to happen. Things will change, things will move. We'll see the harvest of plenty. We will see souls won for Christ. And I believe God is calling us for such a time as this. And we need to step up to the plate no matter what it costs us. And Esther decides that, yes, I want you all to fast. And she says, I'll fast as well, and I'll get my maids to fast. And she says, then I will do what's need to be done. I will go in on to the king. And she says, if I perish, I perish. And you can see here the change in attitude. And I talked a wee bit last week about change. And folks, we need to get rid of any selfish attitude that we would have. Sometimes we think, there's nothing in it for me. It's not about us. It's not about what we can get out of it. It's not about what we can get out of church. Our attitude should be what we can give, what we can put into it, what we can put into this community. And you know, we have so much that we can put into this community because God has already put it in us by His Spirit. And God calls us for such a time as this. What is this time that we are living in? I want to read a few verses from Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5. And as I read these verses, I want you to think, is this the world today that we are talking about? Is this the thing that God is speaking about? Are we living in these times? 2 Timothy 3 says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. And he has no anybody who really loves themselves. There's one anyway. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, plenty of that goes on. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Folks, we are living in those days. And we are called to the kingdom. We are called to Newry Christian Center for such a time as this. We are called to be God's witnesses. And Esther was willing to take a risk. And you know, if we are to step out in faith, we need to be willing to take a risk. I can't remember who it was that said, faith is spelt R-I-S-K. R-I-S-K. Faith is spelt risk. And to step out in faith means taking a risk. And we need to start being risk takers. We need to start stepping out and believing what God's going to do in the community. Believing what God's going to do through us. Believing what God's going to do even in our own families. And believe for miracles. Believe for the signs and wonders to follow the preaching of the word. But most of all, folks, it's time for the church, time for God's people to make a stand like Esther and to say, if I perish, I perish. Whatever the cost is going to be, whatever it's going to take, I'm willing to sacrifice everything in order for God to fulfill his purpose in my life. It's time for God's people to stand up and be counted. Say, I believe we are living in those last days that I read about there in 2 Timothy 3. All of those things are going on. It's a time when society is calling evil good and good evil. It's a time whenever society is attacking Christian businesses. We see it happening all the time now. There's new cases arising all the time. It's not that long ago that a Christian couple in England were taken to court because they wouldn't let a homosexual couple spend a night in their bed and breakfast. And they lost that case and were fined something like £3,000. Folks, it's time as Christians that we had a voice. It's time to make our stand. It's time to be heard as God's people and to make a stand for what is right. Asher's Bakery is another one not that far from here. Asher's Bakery, because they wouldn't put a display on a cake that went against what they believed in, that was the same representative of a same-sex marriage, they were taken or are being taken to court. And folks, it's wrong. The Bible is plain. The Bible tells us in Leviticus 20 that homosexuality is an abomination before God. And we can water it down all we want. And folks, I am not against homosexual people. I am against the sin. Love the sinner, but hate the sin. And we have to love those people. But it seems today that people like that have more rights than anyone else. And the Christians' rights are being eroded. We have no rights within society today. And it's time for God's people to stand up and be counted. For too long, Christians have been mealy-mouthed about what they believe in. We need to stand up. We need to take a stand for what is right, for what the Word of God says. Today in our schools, they no longer pray in assemblies because that has been taken out of our schools. Again, they are eroding away the Christian faith. I believe if Christians had taken a stand against that, those things wouldn't happen. We're in doing a visit yesterday in Craigavon Hospital. There's a notice up on the board, if you require a Gideon Bible, please ask for one at the nurse's station. The reason being they have removed all the Gideon Bibles from the bedside lockers with the excuse that they breed germs. My Bible doesn't breed germs, folks. My Bible brings healing. The Bible I read brings deliverance. The Bible that I read speaks into people's lives and sets them free. And if the hospitals would let people read them, the hospitals wouldn't be as full as what they are, and we wouldn't have the crisis in the NHS. Because God's people have the answer, but they're not being allowed to speak the answer. And you know why, folks? Because we haven't made the stand that we need to take. And it's time we stepped up to the plate. It's time we stood up for what the Word of God says, and we start to declare those things. We start to make a stand when we see unrighteous judgment, when we start and see the government taking out laws that are against the Word of God. We need to make a stand. We're called for such a time as this. There's too much goes on in society today that is evil. The latest thing that I heard is that primary schools are now introducing books to children as young as 5 and 6 to show them pictures that a same-sex couple, it's normal for them to have children and to rear a family. And they want this to be normalized in schools. And everywhere you see it on television, soaps, you switch on any soap and you will find a same-sex couple in the soap because it's got so popular now. But it's still wrong. It's not what the Word of God demands. It's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. God made marriage for a man and a woman. God ordained marriage between a man and a woman. And folks, we need to start and stand against what is wrong. Stand in our community. Stand, and there will be people who will come up against us and say, yes, our fuddy-duddies, and times have changed. Times may change, but the Word of God will never change. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Society is bringing all of these things in, and the Christian's rights are being eroded. God calls us to make a stand. And the best way that I know to make a stand is by simply declaring the truth of the Word of God. And it's the Word of God, it's God's truth that sets people free. There's a city out through those doors that is in bondage tonight. There's a city out there that needs Jesus. And are we going to allow Satan to keep our mouths shut because of fear of ridicule? Because of fear of that if we make a stand and we say what the Word of God says, that people will mock and people will make fun? I tell you now, those things will definitely happen. But you know something? As that word goes forth, there will be others who will be set free. There will be those who will be saved. There will be those who will be healed. There's a great need in this city. You ask any of the folks that work here on a Tuesday and a Friday in the food bank, and they'll tell you of the need. And it's not just the poverty. It's not just the fact that people need food. Do you see, when people are that low, there's all sorts of issues and problems going on in people's lives. And they need help. Do you know what they need? They need Jesus. And we need to give them Jesus. And we need, like Esther, to realize that we have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. And you see, if we don't do it, we're going to miss our time, because my time is only allotted here for a short span. Bible tells me that life is like a vapor. One moment it's there and the next it's gone. I'm only going to get one shot at this. You're only going to get one shot at this. When I get to heaven, I want to hear Jesus say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want to get to heaven knowing that I have achieved things in the spiritual realm, that I have stood my ground in faith, and not only stood my ground, but I have taken ground. And the ground that I want to take at this moment in time is the city of Newry, because this is the ground that God has placed me in. This is the ground where God has called me to. This is the ground that God has called you to, where He has placed you. And folks, we can take the city of Newry by storm if we believe the Word of God, if we believe the Spirit of God dwells in us, if we believe that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. We can take Newry for Jesus. And we need to start believing it, folks. And the way that we believe it is by putting it into practice. Putting legs to our faith. Getting out there. Meeting people. Meeting needs. And seeing the Spirit of God do something wonderful. Amen. Let's pray. Bless you, Lord. Father, I just pray, Lord, that something of what I've shared tonight will be embedded in each of our hearts by your Spirit. And Lord, that as we seek to win this community for you, Lord, that there will be that hunger and that desire within us, Lord, to share you with others, to minister to people's needs, and to be a blessing in this community. And Lord, that we won't have any selfish attitudes, that we won't worry about what it costs, because Lord, you're no man's debtor. And Lord, that we'll be used by you for such a time as this, because Lord, this is the only time we have. This is the time that you've called us for. This is the time you've given us. Lord, let us be used for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.